This is
Prince of Three, 1, 2, 3, 3.
Your episode 3 Concordia and Pro Sports leader
in for the touchdown, and Nebraska leads.
Koopski, and man, it's good to be back once again. I love doing this thing. I don't know about you, but
oh, I love it, man.
I wait all week to do this, and it's the highlight of my week right now.
It's awesome, yeah, and it's a lot to look forward to. It's a lot of fun.
It definitely is. All right, let's kick her off. All right, so Concordia Sports, we're going to start off with let's start off with volleyball. You know, they're doing some good things right now, going 15-3,
yeah,
keeping their hot streak.
They're thriving in the GPAC competition, and it's looking great.
Yeah, it is. Sadly, a heartbreak loss their last match that they had, but I mean, you can always bounce back and hope for a good one on the next game. I mean, that's why you have so many games. You know, you just bounce back and play the next.
And honestly, the heartbreak games, I mean, those are the ones that really, you know, obviously break your heart, and those are the ones that are always the toughest to deal with. But at the same time, those are the games that you learn from. Those are the games where you just, you know, every mistake is crucial, and you just have to play to the best of your abilities and make sure that you can't make those little mistakes. And that's where I love those kind of games, because, yeah, it stinks at first, but it teaches you. It's a great experience.
It definitely is. I mean, as a football player, I've experienced that. The Doan game was a very sad heartbreak loss, and then the Buena Vista game was a very sad heartbreak loss, but we'll get into that later. Next up, we got men's soccer. They're on a hot streak, 8-1 right now.
Yeah, they're thriving.
They're on a roll, and I mean, I don't see them slowing down. I mean,
there's no way.
They have that one awful loss in overtime against Kansas Wesleyan, but I mean, they bounced back. They won their next game, and now they're 8-1. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about them. They're playing great soccer, and I don't even know. I'm speechless right now because of how well they're playing.
Yeah, they've played incredibly well to this point. And again, like you said, they're right now above the clouds, and I just don't see them swooping down at any point. And if they keep this intensity up, again, like you said, there's that one loss in overtime. That's another humbling loss, another game where it's heartbreak, but they learn from it. And as you said, they came back. They fought hard. They didn't let that loss keep them down. And they fought hard, and they won that game. So, I mean, give them credit for not staying in the dumps and after that team ruined their winning streak. But, hey, look at them now. I mean, they're still playing to the best of their abilities, and I mean, they've got to be ranked. I mean, they're pretty close to it.
I haven't looked that much into it, but I think they are. I mean, I hope so.
I would hope so too, because this team is incredible, and it's fun to watch them. They're very electric. It's a fun team to watch.
Speaking of ranks, Concordia women's cross country team cracked the top 25. They are ranked 7th in NAIA. Also, they won their first ever meet in a very long time. Like the girls did, they got first place in the meet, so congrats to them. They did great.
Yeah, they're receiving a lot of attention right now, and they should be. I mean, just the way that they are competing and the way that they are fired up, big props to them and how well they are playing. It's incredible.
It's really fun to see that not just the main sports are getting credit, like sports that are lesser known per se in the world of sports, like cross country and golf. Cross country, you know, great outing, and I can't wait to see what they can do from here. Hopefully they can get into that national championship mark.
And credit Coach Beisel. He's really one of the top coaches here, one of my favorite coaches.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and the way that he's coached, he was great last year in the track season for last spring, and he's doing it again here in cross country. So watch out for this team. This is a national championship contending team.
This is definitely a championship contender team. And football, we have two wins. We have two wins against some really good GPAC teams. I don't know how surprised you are, but I'm really surprised as a player myself.
Well, as we were mentioning about those heartbreak losses, I mean, this could almost be a theme for Concordia right now, but Concordia learns, and so far you guys had those two games, both heartbreakers, but you didn't let that hold you guys down. 44-0 win against Morningside,
Hastings.
Right? Or Hastings, excuse me. And then you guys just beat,
We beat Briarcliff.
Briarcliff,
who had the number one ranked defense in NAIA, and they did not show up. We looked like the number one defense on Saturday. We had six turnovers in the first quarter alone. We had a total of I think eight. We had like eight turnovers the entire game, and Buena Vista gave us probably like two or three, but we caused a ton of them, and our offense was driving down the field a lot, but unfortunately couldn't capitalize where it mattered most. But I'm going to have to go back on what I said whenever I talked about kickers. Our kicker was the player of the game.
Really?
or at least in our minds, because he went 3-for-3 and basically hit the game-winning field goal to get us to the 16-14 win. So congrats, freshman kicker. And hopefully tomorrow we can go up to Jamestown and beat some Jamestown butt.
And also, that was incredible. That was the homecoming game. And Rob, it looks like you can't really ask for a better game for homecoming.
No, you can't. It was really intense game, close game. Kind of sloppy. It was like an ugly win, but a win's a win, and it was incredible.
Against that defense, you're going to take what you can get.
Exactly, exactly. And I was on the sidelines for that game, and when the final play hit, I don't know what came about me, but I don't even know how to describe it. But it was just that feeling, and you're like running onto the field, hands up, and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. You're just excited and happy that you just beat a team like Briarcliff, and man, was that a good win.
It was an incredible win. Props to you guys. Great job.
Thanks, thanks. I want to hear how Trap did, because you had something big.
Well, so Trap and Skeet, so we just had our conference meet, and also this weekend is our Concordia Invitational. So go out to Oak Creek out in it's in Brainerd. It's about 30 minutes north of here, and it's a beautiful course, and we're going to be shooting sporting clays out there. So this is the Concordia Invitational. A lot of GPAC teams will be there, 150 athletes competing.
Woo!
Yep, and so last week we just had our conference meet, and we did all right. I will say that I think we got screwed over a little bit, because, you know, the way that they were placing, I'm not going to throw too much shade, but the way that they were having the placing, or the way they were taking points, it just wasn't the way that I figured that they would have. Usually you go by your top five athletes. Well, they went by your top squad, and so you can put your top five athletes on your squad, but you have to be the greatest athletes all around, and which that's very rare to get. I mean, Concordia has a few shooters like Wyatt Hambly that can do that, or Nicole Breeze, but there's not a lot of shooters that are like that. And so to have that is like a true gem. So we did all right. I think we missed out on first place by a few birds and stuff. So Fort Hayes was the winner of that one. But otherwise, we gave them a run for their money. So that's all you can ask for. So.
Yeah, go out and do your best. And unfortunately, you had to leave the results to the judges and their scoring. But, hey, congrats. Second's not bad. Second is
– Yeah, no, it's – yeah, second's we were pretty up there, good. So, I mean, yeah, it was a good tournament overall. It was it was humbling. Like, we were up in the clouds. We were – over our heads a little bit, I think. We knocked off Fort Hayes, the national champion, former national champions, the week prior. And so it was kind of a humbling experience, I guess, but hopefully we'll get them this weekend.
Oh, hopefully, hopefully. All right. Now on to everyone's favorite, college D1 football. And we got the top 25 here. Alabama snuck their way up to number one. Clemson drops to number two. Georgia's sticking at number three. Ohio State made a jump to number four, and LSU drops to number five. What are your thoughts? Do you think LSU and Ohio State deserved the flip, or did one team get the advantage?
Well, Ohio State, I will say this. I mean, they blew out Nebraska, but at the same time, though, we talked about their competition. I don't really know if Ohio State is a good team, and they certainly look like, and they played like it when they faced the Huskers. I don't know, though. It would be interesting to see those two, like Ohio State and LSU, match up. That would be a really interesting match.
That would be one of the greatest games that, I mean, has ever played this season.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And so as far as the bigger switch that I'm more concerned with is the Clemson-Alabama one. That I don't totally agree with.
Well, I mean, Clemson did play kind of poorly in their last win. Alabama, obviously, is Alabama blowing everyone out of the water. But, I mean, also they play crappy teams in the first half of the season. So, I mean, you can. There is a debate in there, but I don't. I mean, I'm with you. I don't appreciate that they switched. I wish Alabama was, like, not in the top 25, but that's just me.
Obviously, yeah, me too.
That's just me.
Yeah, and I'm right with you in that boat. The thing is, though, Clemson, yeah, they may be switched, but they're still in the top four for, national title competition.
They're in the top two, so.
I think they'll be fine. So, I mean, yeah, there is a switch, but overall, it's fine, I think, for them.
All right, so noticing that Georgia's still at number three, do you think Georgia's getting robbed, or do you think that's just where they should be right now, or do you think they should be climbing, or what are your thoughts on Georgia being three?
I think Georgia should be three. They are a very talented team, and I really like that Tiger team. But the thing is, though, taking down Alabama or Clemson looked tumbling out there in their last win. I mean, only by a point over North Carolina. Not great for that program, but I mean, at the same time, they didn't lose. But the thing is, though, Georgia, I mean, they've been good, but they also play really not very good teams. Mm-hmm. So I want to see Georgia really face. I mean, they did great against Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. They played stellar.
Oh, yeah. It was great. But I really, as long as they stay in the top four, I think they'll be all right. I don't know if I would say one or two just yet, because Alabama and Clemson, they've been powerhouses for years, and Georgia has been in the playoffs the past few years, and they just haven't been able to get into that top spot. Well,
yeah,
they were that one year, but Alabama took care of them.
Yeah,
so.
That was a handle. But I feel like Georgia got – I mean, they were given the three spot kind of preseason, and, I mean, yes, they deserve it, but throughout the season, I feel like they should have got bumped down a little bit, just because of the competition that they've been facing hasn't really been that competitive. I mean, the only good one you had was Notre Dame. So, personally, I feel like they should be, like, six right now. But, hey, congrats on being three. I mean,
oh, I wouldn't keep them out of the top four. I would still say that they're...
I'd push LSU and Ohio State up into the top four.
Oh,
That's what I would do.
I'd take Georgia over both of those teams yet, though.
Well, all right.
I mean, I'll say that. I think if those teams were to play head-to-head, and they might in the playoffs, we'll see. But I think I would take Georgia over LSU and Ohio State.
You know, I got this. It just popped into my head. But if you were to pick out of the top five, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and LSU, who would be your college playoff top four?
The one team that I would leave out, probably Ohio State.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes,
I would say Ohio State. You're going to diss the Big Ten from getting their shot?
I don't really care about the conference, per se. I care about Minnesota, but Minnesota's been terrible. I mean, credit.
What do you mean? They're undefeated.
Well, yeah, but they've all had one-score games against unranked opponents.
They beat Purdue.
Okay, they beat Purdue. Exactly my point.
Purdue's a good ball club.
They're mediocre at best.
Purdue's only loss is to Minnesota. You do realize that?
Well, yeah, but look at their recent history.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
Purdue also knocked off Ohio State last year.
They did, but at the same time, they lost six other games. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm just pointing out facts right here.
They got. Well, yeah, but I'm also spitting back facts here, all right? I mean, the thing is, though, Purdue, I do like Purdue. I mean, they are fine. I think they're more known for their basketball than they are their football. But
agreed.
Yeah, and I think that Minnesota, at least they're playing close games, so they have a little bit more experience than you have with your blowouts. That's the only thing that I can see from Minnesota. But, yeah, I would definitely choose LSU over Ohio State. LSU, for, like, the first time in years, actually has a pass attack.
Yeah, you're not wrong. They have a really good pass game right now. So, but for me, I'd leave out Georgia. I mean,
really?
Right now, they haven't shown that they can play against high-caliber teams. Notre Dame, yes, they're a good team. They're not a high-caliber team. just because you made the playoffs last year, at the fact that you did not deserve to be in the playoffs at all, doesn't mean anything. So I would leave out Georgia and have LSU and Ohio State crack that 3-4 seed.
We'll see what happens. I don't know. The thing is, though, Ohio State, they've been – when was the last time they were in the top four? Wasn't it like the first year?
The very first college football year.
Very first, yeah, national. So besides that, they just haven't really been able to sustain it throughout the year, and that's the one thing that Georgia has been able to do, is just kind of keep up with their competitive pace throughout the course of the year. So we'll see what happens, but I'm trusting Georgia that they can make it through their season without dropping a lot of games or any games. So
we'll see. I mean, right now, this week Ohio State plays Michigan State, so if Michigan State wins, which is my hope, then I'll have different expectations for Ohio State.
Well,
but
I think
right now Ohio State can make the top 25.
I was about to say, if Ohio State loses a game, I mean, that's about it, because you got LSU climbing up at the door. I mean, who is at number six right now?
Six is Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma. Well,
see.
Yeah.
I mean, so six, seven, and eight is Oklahoma, Auburn, and Wisconsin. Those are your six, seven, and eight.
See, I could see Wisconsin moving up the chains. I could see that, but that's about the only one of those teams that I could see actually going up. And if Ohio State, if Ohio State does drop a game, I mean, maybe they can still make the playoffs. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be a night to remember. All right, now time for college pick'ems. As a recap, we picked the five games that are playing this week, and me and Graham pick each game and who we think is going to win. So far, Graham is 3-2. I'm 4-1. Heck yeah, buddy.
You got lucky.
I did not get lucky. I that's called skill.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And since we are living in Nebraska, obviously we have to go Nebraska versus Northwestern. It's in Lincoln. Northwestern is 1-3. Nebraska 3-2. I'm going to have you go first on this one. I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, this will be interesting because Northwestern has had a respectable program in the past, and they're off to a rough start. But I do have to say, I'm going to go with Nebraska. I'm going to go with the Cornhuskers. They came off a humbling loss, but I think everyone kind of predicted that loss. But I think this game becomes more of a field position battle and more of a home field advantage kind of game. So I'm going to say if Northwestern was hosting this game, I think I would pick them. But I think because it's in Memorial Stadium and just because of that fan base and the energy and excitement there is around there, I think Nebraska has a great chance of winning this game. And I'm going to take them to win this one.
All right. Well, we're going to be split on this one because I got Northwestern. I mean, yes, they're off to a rough start, but I feel like right now, this is the time where they get their crap together and play ball and get that underdog win, the upset at Memorial Stadium. So I like what Northwestern is doing. I like their offense, and their defense has always been really good. If they can put points on the board, I feel like they can beat Nebraska in this one.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll take your word for it. I'm going to stick with the Cornhuskers, though. So.
All right. Next one, number 14, Iowa, at number 19, Michigan. Iowa is still undefeated, and Michigan, obviously, 3-1. I'm going to go with Iowa because they don't look like they're going to slow down, and Michigan looks like trash right now.
Well, I think Michigan is just humbling. So I'm going to pick Michigan because, again, when you talk about field position and battles, Iowa has been doing pretty well. I mean, obviously 4-0, ranked 14th. I mean, they've been doing great. But at the same time, though, I think this is where they drop a game. I think they are going to be – I mean, I think it'll be a close one without a question. But playing in Ann Arbor, ooh, that's a hard field.
Last time Iowa played in Ann Arbor, Iowa won. So I'm going – with my boy Nate Weeding, my teammate, my homie, he gonna lead his team with blocking stats and win the game for him. He's a tight end, so I mean, in this offense that I've watched the few games, they've turned into a spread type passing, just throwing to the receivers. So I like Iowa in their offense, and if they can keep it up, they're gonna win. They're gonna climb from 14. They may not crack the top 10. I mean, they might, but who knows? But I feel like they're gonna keep rolling on this high wave.
All right, fair enough. See, the thing is, though, Michigan did have that one loss, and yes, it was not very good, but it was to Wisconsin. It was a great team, and so
okay,
I think.
Okay, but they also barely won to Army.
Well,
let's let sink in, Army.
Well, okay.
One more time, Army.
Well, at the same time, look at Clemson. They barely won against North Carolina. Does that say, like, oh, they're just a slight step above North Carolina? No, they had a bad game, and I think that's what Michigan had against Wisconsin.
They had three bad games in a row?
It wasn't all bad.
The Army game was really, really bad if they barely won that game. They had to win on a sack. That's how they won. Their offense played terrible against Army. Their offense played terrible again against Wisconsin. I mean, I have no faith in Michigan. Yes, I'm a Big Ten fan, but right now, if Michigan was playing a non-conference game, I'd have to go with the team that's playing against Michigan because they're just not producing. They're not showing up. They're not showing me that I can trust them to win a game. All right, so.
Fair. Okay, that's fair.
Yes, and this is the Big Ten we're talking about, so every team is very, very tough. Let's just say that.
Yeah, great. I mean, the Big Ten is a very respectable conference, and I mean, I think they probably have one of the most, if not the most, teams in the top 25 right now. So it's a great conference.
It is a good conference. All right, next up, Auburn at Florida. Auburn ranked number 7. They're 5-0. Florida ranked 10. They're also 5-0. I literally had to go down and do actual research to figure out who's going to win this game because they're both great teams. I watched both of them. They're both phenomenal. I love watching both of them. So I'm going to let you go first because it took a long time for me to make this decision.
I'm going with Auburn. I like Auburn. I really do. And I think that they're going to be able to pull this one off. And this is in Florida?
It's at Florida. Yeah, it's at the Swamp.
Well, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a dogfight, to say the least. But I think Auburn's got what it takes. And I really like what they're doing. They have a great defense. They got a all right rushing attack. And they got a good passing team, too. So I really like what's going to happen. And I think this game, by far, will be a defensive game. And whoever's going to have the strongest defense. And right now, I would pick Auburn over Florida.
I literally almost had to flip a coin to make this pick. But I went with Florida just because they've played more competitive teams in their short schedule so far. Auburn, what? They had
Oregon the first week
and then Texas A&M. Those are two. I mean, they're really good games, but – who are you talking about? Florida played three SEC teams already and still have proven themselves that they can stay at undefeated. So they have just that one more game edge that just made me pick them. You're making me doubt my decision right now, but I'm going to stick with Florida. I'm going to stick with Florida. I trust them. It's at the Swamp. Home field advantage. Can't get any better than that. So
that would be the.
This
one
will be a dogfight, though. It's going to be whoever has the ball last is going to win. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that would almost restrict me from playing Auburn is that it's in the Swamp. So, yeah, and it's hard to win in that atmosphere there, too. But honestly, I'm going to stay with my decision. I like Auburn. I like what they're doing, and I think they've got a great coach to do the job. And so I think that they're going to pull this one out.
All right. So far, we haven't picked the same team, so this will be an interesting week. Next up, number 11, Texas, who is 3-1. They're at West Virginia, also 3-1. I have Texas.
I have Texas
winning.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, they're a ranked team going up against an unranked, but
West Virginia has shown some talent in the
they
past.
They have, and I feel like this is going to be a close game, but I feel like Texas is going to edge out.
Yeah, and I really like Texas and what they're doing. And so, yeah, I really like Texas and how they're playing ball right now. And I know they got a good defense. And I think this is going to be I think it's just going to be Texas all the way. I mean, it was West Virginia. I could see – this is a game where I could see an upset. But at the same time, though, I think Texas – I'm going to stay pretty strong and confident in Texas and how they're going to play ball.
Yeah, no, I am too. I mean, it will be a close game, but I feel like Texas wins by at least a touchdown. So.
Yeah, one possession game, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. All right, last but not least – Air Force at Navy. Air Force is 3-1, Navy 2-1. I'm going to let you go first on this one.
I always hate picking these games because I just – they're always great games. But I'm going to say Navy.
You're going to say Navy?
I'm going to say Navy, yeah.
Well, I got Air Force.
All right.
Air Force. They've just proven themselves – this is a game where I also had a look at who they played. Their one loss was to Boise State. Boise State's a really good team, and they hung in there. It wasn't like one of those blowout wins. It was 30-19, closer than people would have guessed. Well, closer than – it's not like 42-0 or 48-7, Nebraska, or 42-7. I don't really know. Nebraska got blown out. It wasn't that type of game. I watched the first half of that game, and Air Force looked like they were on a roll, driving the ball down and making it close, and then they just kind of lost it near the end. But, that's – Navy hasn't really played anyone. They lost to Memphis.
Yeah, and I get that too. The only reason why I picked Navy, I'm not going to lie, is because – I just like the Navy more than I like the Air Force. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I really like big ships and stuff. It's just more interesting than an airplane. So, I mean, both of those teams, they're not ranked. And I just – so, I'm going to go with Navy. And so, that's just how I'm going to pick this game to go.
Yeah, that's a – I mean, I'm picking Air Force. And, yes, I did bang on – Army earlier, but when it comes to that Army Navy game, I'm choosing Army all the way, man.
Yeah, no, an Army has, I think, a better history against the Navy too.
Yeah.
So,
all right, so that'll do it for college game picks. Right now, the only one that me and Graham are thinking in the same wavelength is Texas and West Virginia. We both have Texas, so this week's going to be interesting.
This will be interesting to say the least.
All right. What's next, NFL?
NFL is next. And the biggest story that I want to cover is Kirk Cousins and how terrible he is. I'm a Vikings fan. You're a Bears fan. So I'll let you glow as much as you want. But goodness God.
Bear down, baby.
The thing is, though, it's that I don't even feel that we lost to the Bears. I feel that we lost to ourselves. This is how terrible this game was for us, I thought. And honestly, right now that Diggs is – there's a bunch of trade rumors about Diggs going on, and I don't blame him if he's actually thinking about going out, because who wants to play for that Kirk Cousins who can't throw a ball? I mean, you should see the memes out there on the internet now about Kirk Cousins. I mean,
there's a ton, and it's funny. He's
averaging under 200 yards a game for a quarterback making $28 million a year. He's just doing that. On paper, the Vikings should have the most elite offense, or one of the most elite offenses.
With their receiving core, they have, like, the best receiving core in the nation right now.
Diggs,
like, you can't
Thielen.
Get any better than what they have right now. But that's hard. It's hard to get them the ball when your quarterback can't get them the ball.
Yeah, and, I mean, we have Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook's a great player.
Yeah, and he's
But you can't run the ball all the time, as the Bears proved – last Sunday, who is the best run defense in the nation, and you decide to run the ball all the time. Look how that worked out for you.
Well, I'm okay with
the Bears got the dub. That's how that worked for
Well, I'm okay with the Vikings trying to establish a running game. You almost have to, because otherwise then you're not going to respect play-action passes and stuff. But at the same time, though, Cousins, good heavens, man. I don't know. And the thing is, though, I was really excited when we first signed him, because I was like, okay, you know, he's not a Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater is, like, right now my favorite quarterback, and I love watching what he's doing in New Orleans. But You know, he's not Bridgewater. He's better than Bridgewater. He's better than Keenum. He's better
oh,
than
Oh, no,
Sam
no,
Pratt.
No, no.
Than Keenum?
Case Keenum led your team to the game before the Super Bowl. He led your team to the NFC Championship. He created basically created the Minneapolis Miracle.
I'm going to stop you right there. Okay, Keenum was a fine quarterback.
Keenum had a team. Keenum had his own team. He was a perfect fit for the Vikings. You guys would have won the Super Bowl last year if he stayed on your team.
No, there's
yes.
no way.
Yes, there is a way.
There's one reason why Case Keenum was good last. You wouldn't even in 2017. Would you say, "Oh, I'm going to draft Case Keenum for my fantasy team"? Hell no. You're
once
not
he became the starting quarterback. Heck yeah, I had thoughts about it.
No way. The guy's stats was not that great. It was like Teddy Bridgewater. We won, but he was a terror. I mean, his stats. He posted what 14-19. 14 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
That's terrible. Fantasy stats?
If you have the stupid rule of, oh, if there's an interception, I subtract a point.
Well, who doesn't do that?
Me. My fantasy league.
Well, okay. So
I feel like that's a stupid rule.
So Nathan Peterman is a great quarterback in your league.
Well,
just ponder that for a second.
What's his touchdown to?
Be quiet. I mean, you just said Nathan Peterman. You praise Nathan Peterman in your league for that. I mean, come on, man.
Who is that anyways?
Nathan Peterman? You don't know Nathan Peterman?
I know who he is, but
the guy who set records for ineptitude. Oh, jeez.
But what I'm saying, Keenum had a team with Minnesota.
Keenum had a stellar defense. The defense was mediocre last year, and this year it's okay still. I mean, it's not as great as it was in 2017. I will say that. And Keenum also had an offensive line.
Exactly. And the offensive line, he is a mobile quarterback. What is Kirk? I'm going to sit there and take a sack or throw it backwards. That's Kirk. So I don't understand how you think Case Keenum is not a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins, which Case Keenum showed up and led a third string quarterback led your team to the conference championship, and you're telling me an $84 million Kirk Cousins who has done nothing for your team is better than Case Keenum?
Well, I'm going to say this right here. What did Case Keenum do with that NFC championship game? Blew it away.
You can't just blame that on Case Keenum. The whole team played terrible in that NFC championship game.
Well, I mean, yeah, the defense was not stellar, but at the same time, only putting up 7 points in the game. And not to mention, it was after the first drive. I mean, you took a nap after the first drive. And then on
the whole team took a nap after the first drive.
Not only that, and here's where I'm going to silence the Case Keenum thing. What has he done in the past 2 years?
Because he doesn't have a team. He had the perfect team with Minnesota, and they decided to just get rid of him and did not see that he was producing great things for the program and the franchise, and they just decided, nope, we're going to get a worse quarterback, and we're going to pay him a butt dump of money to do nothing, and then we're going to have this controversy of, well, is he going to be a Viking anymore?
Dude, what do you think that the Broncos did? They thought he was so terrible that they ran him out of town after the first year.
Well, that's because he didn't have the correct weapons like the Vikings. He had a great offensive line. He had great receivers in Diggs and Thielen. I mean, and he had Dalvin Cook and Murray. He had Murray in that backfield, too, that helped him out.
Thing is, though, in Denver, he also had running backs. He also
had Emmanuel
Sanders.
Running backs.
He had a great defense still.
He had a terrible line.
Denver's offensive line isn't too terrible.
But
They're mediocre.
In NFL standards, they're bad.
They're mediocre. And then if you look at the Redskins' offensive line, again, is not that terrible.
Yes,
either.
They are.
They are not that bad.
Really?
The Vikings' offensive line is worse.
No.
Yes.
No, the Bears' defense produced way more production against the Redskins' offensive line than they did against the Vikings. I'd argue that the Redskins' offensive line is worse than the Vikings. Just from watching games that the Bears have played the two teams. So, I mean, just watching Bears games and looking at what they created. They created more turnovers against the Redskins than they did against the Vikings. So, I feel like Redskins offensive line is way worse than the Vikings, so that doesn't help Case Keenum. He also has zero weapons around him.
Who's McLarkin?
McWho?
The rookie sensation?
Who's hurt?
Well, he was hurt for one game.
He's
back
still hurt.
This week. He's back this week.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. But now Case Keenum's not going to be starting. So what's the whole point?
Oh, yeah, not to mention that Case Keenum. Remember, Colt McCoy is starting over Case Keenum. This is how bad he is.
No, that has nothing to do with it. Watch, Colt McCoy's going to do even worse than Case Keenum, and then they're going to have to go to their rookie quarterback who's not going to produce and going to have a horrible rookie year. The Redskins is not a good fit for Case Keenum, for any quarterback for that matter. Case Keenum needs to go back to the Vikings or find a team that's like the Vikings that he played with when he played for the Vikings. Then he will shine. But
no,
right now,
Case Keenum is not a good quarterback.
He is a good quarterback.
Where was he his first 7 years? In the basement, a third or fourth string quarterback for the St. Louis
because
Rams.
No one gave him a shot. And also,
the Rams did. And he was terrible.
I meant like a starting shot.
The Rams did.
No,
he was terrible.
They also didn't have.
Houston did too.
You're not getting the point. The point is, Case Keenum had a perfect team. You want to hear that again? That he had a perfect team. And I don't know why you're not listening to me. I'm not a Vikings fan, and I'm trying to defend one of the good quarterbacks that the Vikings have had in the last few years. Case Keenum. He has been a playmaker, and if you put him on a good team, like the right team for him, like they did with the Vikings when he came in as a third-string quarterback. That's how you win games, and that's how you make money.
Yeah, but Keenum is not worth it because he's still making close to $20 million a year. So for $8 million less, what is that really going to buy you?
I don't know, but he wanted to take a pay cut to stay with the Vikings.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No,
he also wanted a long-term contract, but he said he wanted to stay with the Vikings.
He was asking for close to $18 million. I mean, $18 to $20 million.
So give it to him.
No, because what is $8 million going to buy you more? It might get you a mediocre lineman. Okay, that helps your lineman a little bit.
Hey.
That's not that
much.
All right,
listen to this. You would have more cap space to get actually good players if you had Case Keenum. Instead, you filled up your cap space, and now for this dang quarterback, and now you can't get anyone good.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. What player are you going to buy for $8 million? Not many. I mean, not many good players anyways.
But Case Keenum already had a team, and none of them really left, and none of them went anywhere. No one left. The only person who really left was Case Keenum, and that's what ruined your team. You getting rid of Case Keenum ruined your team.
What ruined our team was our offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, leaving. He was the guy who had all the calls for the offense in the first place. He was the one who appealed to everyone on the team. And, I mean, he was the reason why that team was good. And then we replaced him with
– Yeah, and you had a quarterback that fit the system, Case Keenum. Again, the perfect team. You know what? I feel like we're babbling on. We need to get to some MLB, but we'll get this debate next week. Also, if you guys are listening, please email us, and we want to hear your opinions on this debate because it's a strong one right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Anyways, MLB, playoffs are upon us, and so the wild card games that was decided, the Nationals took out I can't think of the team. The Brewers. The Nationals took out the Brewers, and then the Rays took out the A's.
Which was a huge upset. I did not see that one coming.
Well, I could see it, but I was definitely expecting the Athletics to take that game. I mean, they just done a lot better work, and then they were at home, too. So I'm kind of wondering, like, why the heck they lost. But anyways, it's beside them in the past. They can Billy Beam the next season and see what the heck happens, so... But, I mean, looking up, there was games yesterday. The Dodgers won easily.
I'm not surprised either.
Yeah, the Dodgers, I'm not really surprised. So there was that. And then the Cardinals won a tight game against the Braves, 7-6. So I picked the Cardinals going winning that division, or winning that series, I should say. And then I don't think that the Nationals are anything to the Dodgers, so I'm going to go Dodgers.
Yeah. I mean, I can't – I have no arguments for that one. I mean, they're just showing up and proving themselves and making headway. Also, our Twins are playing the Yankees, but I have confidence. I think this will be a good series, and I think we can pull it off.
Well, here's the thing. I don't have confidence, but I do have – I do have a love for this team, all right? I'm attached to it. So it's
– Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I'm going to watch it tonight.
I'm definitely watching every single game. I mean, unless if it's a blowout, then I'm just going to go and throw a brick at the TV. Other than that, yeah, so it will be very interesting to see this game, and I'm really hoping – the first few games are in New York, and then it's in Minnesota, and then New York has the last game if it were to go to a game five. We'll see what happens. It will be interesting. The Yankees have – they ended the season playing mediocre ball. So that's what I'm interested in, is that they weren't
– if they're going to bounce back.
Yeah, they weren't hot. And the Twins are getting back some injured players like
– And near the end of the season, Twins were on a roll. I mean
– Well, they were playing, terrible teams. But
well, I understand that, but they're still on a roll.
Yeah.
Like, they have that momentum in their minds and saying, we can beat teams. We can go into this game one and take game one at Yankee Stadium, and I have faith, I have hope. Let's hope that they can get it done.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, we'll definitely be a series I'll be closely watching. I think Barrios is on the mound right away, and I really like Barrios. Thing is, though, he kind of got shelled last time they played the Yankees in a playoff game.
I think that's not going to mess him up. I think that's even more fuel in the fire. He's going to say, okay, I'm going to turn this around, and I'm going to have a better game than I had. I'm going to have probably the best game that I've ever had is what he's probably thinking right now. And he's going to throw hopefully a perfect game, but, I mean, hopefully he can just get the win.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see what happens. So the other game that's going on in the AL is the Astros and the Rays. And I just don't think there's the Rays. They're the Cinderella story of the MLB. They came into the season with the lowest payroll, so that's why I was really cheering for them against the Athletics. It's just that I love seeing a team with a low payroll just taking on these higher teams and knocking them out of the water.
Yeah, I think the Rays are not going to do so hot in this series, but we'll see. They may put up a fight. They may not. We'll all find out sooner enough. All right, so that'll conclude episode 3 of the Koobski. If you all stayed and listened to this long, we thank you, and shout out to the Sower for letting us post on their website. And please email us. We want your comments about this heated debate on if Case Keenum is a better quarterback than what's his face, who's doing terrible right now.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the Vikings, they should have went with Plan D and not even gone for any of those quarterbacks. Okay, I mean, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will. Stay tuned next week for that. And our email is cunekubski@gmail.com. That's cunekubske@gmail.com. Thank you all. Have a good night.